Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome back to Loyalty Unlocked. As always, I'm joined by Mark Sage, who, like me, is an AI-generated host. Fortunately, the content itself is real. So, Mark, how's it going?
Hi, great to be back and excited to be here. This episode is fun as we're digging into the psychology that underpins loyalty. We've talked a lot about coalition structures and program design on previous episodes, but today we're diving into what really makes loyalty stick. Or, you know, not stick.
Yeah, and honestly, I love this topic because it's so much messier than people think, right? I mean, how many programs are you part of, Mark? For me, I can maybe list 3 or 4, like you, airline, and coffee cards. But then I checked, and apparently for Americans, it's like, what was it? 17 memberships per household on average.
Yeah, it's wild. The numbers look huge until you ask how many people actually use those programs regularly. That's the kicker. Only around 40% are actually engaged. The rest are just like, forgotten. It almost seems like everyone's a member, but hardly anyone's loyal, if that makes sense.
Right. It's like we might carry all the cards or apps, but if we're honest, most of them just gather digital dust. And this blew my mind. So McKinsey found that companies with loyalty programs, on average, actually grew more slowly than those without. I mean, I always thought adding a loyalty program was supposed to turbocharge sales, not slow things down.
It sounds counterintuitive, but totally spot on. That McKinsey study, I think it was back in 2013, showed companies with programs grew at 4.4%, while those without were at 5.5%. So, adding a standard copycat point system isn't a magic fix. If everyone does it, it becomes background noise, and the incentive just vanishes.
I guess it's like those Me Too schemes. If you just slap points onto your existing app thinking that's enough, you're missing the point. It's not about stacking up more offers. It's about making people want to come back, to actually engage. So Mark, if loyalty can work but sometimes goes totally flat, what actually separates the winners from the ones that fade away?
Great question. And the answer isn't really about partnerships or having the fanciest app features. The real secret's psychology. It's how a scheme gets inside your head, not just inside your phone. That's where U Rewards was different. We weren't just building tech. We were trying to build a habit, a mindset. And that, I think, is a lot harder, but also where the magic happens.
All right, so to really understand how to build true loyalty, we need to sort of forget about the app, or at least move beyond it. We have to get into the customer's head. That's kind of scary, but exciting at the same time.
Yeah, let's time travel a bit. To get why psychology matters for loyalty, you have to go all the way back to 1938, cold Minnesota snow, and B.F. Skinner publishing The Behavior of Organisms, really the backbone for why we do what we do in loyalty. And I know you love a bit of science, right?
Haha, absolutely. I mean, we covered collecting behavior and goal setting in earlier episodes, but this stuff? It's like the OG playbook for habit formation. So Skinner was basically saying, hey, people's behaviors are shaped by rewards, right?
Yeah, and the kicker is how those rewards are given, or scheduled. Skinner described 3 main reinforcement schedules. First, you've got continuous reinforcement. Every time you do the thing, you get a reward. Like earning base points for every purchase. Simple and predictable. Then there's the ratio schedule, where rewards are tied to the number of actions, but not every time. Think of a coffee stamp card. Buy 9, get the 10th free. That's a fixed ratio. Slot machines, that's variable ratio. You don't know when you'll win, which makes them addictive. And finally, the interval schedule, where rewards are based on time. That might be a monthly bonus or a surprise offer that drops sometime this week. Fixed or random, it's about timing rather than count.
Slot machines, and honestly, my phone too. Like, I check my messages constantly, and most of the time, it's just spam or nothing at all. But occasionally, I get the good stuff. An invite, an unexpected e-transfer maybe. But really, that unpredictability, it totally hooks you. I think, what, the stat was more than 300 times a day we check our phones now? That's bananas.
Exactly. And what's happening with those notifications is our brains get rewired. We're being hijacked in a way. Every ping or badge triggers the orienting response. That ancient survival thing where we can't help but react. And the best loyalty programs borrow directly from this by layering in unpredictability. It's the classic, why do I keep swiping when I don't even care that much about the points?
Totally. And I mean, I know I keep checking for those surprise offers in loyalty apps, even if I know 99% of the time it's not going to be life-changing. But that 1%, when something awesome shows up, makes the other checks kind of worth it. I gotta admit, it's a bit of a hack. And it makes so much sense why variable rewards are stickier than just getting the same thing every time.
Yep, and that's why some loyalty programs kind of fizzle over time. If it's just points for every transaction, behavior quickly becomes passive. Sure, I'll swipe my card, but I'm not going out of my way for this. But when you add in unpredictability, variable offers, surprise bonuses, that's what keeps people coming back. Your phone is a slot machine, just with push alerts instead of coins.
And that's why the science is so cool. It's not just about buying loyalty. It's about wiring in habit. I mean, it explains everything from games to phones to, well, why my coffee app makes me eager to stop by every morning even when I had no plans to.
Absolutely. In fact, some of the best designed loyalty programs have been using this for decades. Take airline frequent flyer schemes. They're a masterclass in reinforcement design.
How so?
Start with continuous reinforcement. Every time you fly, you earn miles. That's the basic action equals reward loop. Then you've got fixed ratio rewards, like earning a free flight or upgrade once you hit a certain threshold. Those are clear, goal-based milestones.
Right, the silver, gold, platinum tiers.
Exactly. Those tiers layer in another schedule, fixed interval rewards. You keep your status for a year, so you're constantly pacing yourself to maintain it before the clock resets. That drives recurring behavior. But the real magic happens when you mix in variable rewards, the unpredictable bits. Flash seat upgrades at check-in, random double mile promotions, the surprise email saying you've been upgraded. That unpredictability taps the same dopamine loop as checking your phone.
So even when you're not flying, you're thinking about it, waiting for the next little hit of recognition or reward.
Yep, that's why the best loyalty schemes feel alive. They have both predictability and surprise. Members trust the structure, but stay excited by the randomness. It's a compound schedule that resists extinction. When we built U Rewards, we borrowed that same logic, but we made it a lot more relevant and a lot more real time.
Oh yes, real time is the missing piece. It always takes so long for my miles and tier status to update when I fly.
That's true. With U Rewards, we wanted the reaction to be tightly linked to the action, to really drive home that reinforcement. We also aimed to layer reinforcement types for maximum engagement. So not just base points, but interval and variable ratio things over the top.
Right, so can you give us an example of those layers in U Rewards? Like, continuous reinforcement would be just earning points for every purchase. But what comes next?
Yeah, so after base earn, we integrated instant push notifications. So you spend, the app pings you immediately with how many points you got. Closing that loop between the action and the reward, making it felt not just abstract.
Oh, that's the power of the ping, right? I totally noticed it when I used U Rewards out shopping. My phone buzzes, and suddenly those points feel real. It's almost like a mini dopamine hit every time. My friends would joke that I get too excited, but hey, it totally works.
It really does. Then we layered in daily and rotating offers, plus flash deals. So instead of just predictable rewards, you get random high-value offers appearing and disappearing, sometimes only available for a few hours. That adds the fear of missing out, makes people want to check in regularly, just in case.
That's me, I admit it. I didn't want to miss the best stuff, so I was opening the app all the time. But wasn't there some behind-the-scenes debate? Like, retailers wanted to stick to weekly deals because that's easier for them, right?
Oh, absolutely. The banners were used to weekly schedules, so for them to create new, daily-specific offers was a headache. We had to compromise. Instead of every brand doing new promos daily, we'd allocate a day of the week for each. That way, members still got a sense of daily freshness, but the teams could still plan in weekly cycles. So structure, but with enough unpredictability to keep it engaging.
I love that you're honest about the behind-the-scenes messiness, because it's not always possible to have perfect theory in practice. I think it's cool that even with constraints, you manage to preserve that something wonderful might appear effect for users. That's where all the psychology stuff pays off in the real world, I guess.
Exactly. We were trying to resist extinction, make the program sticky enough that members kept coming back, even if the tech or retail calendar wasn't always perfect. The results spoke for themselves: above market active rates and a real sense of daily engagement in the app. That's what happens when you blend theory and practical design.
So, if I'm hearing everything right, base points are kind of a double-edged sword. They're predictable, which is great for forming habits, but maybe not enough if you want people to go, like, that extra mile. They help make loyalty part of the routine, but not necessarily make it interesting, right?
Exactly. And it's almost more like Pavlov's bell than Skinner's reinforcement. Members swipe or scan as almost a reflex. Not because they're actively chasing something, so you get reach, but maybe not stretch. That's why layering on surprises and challenges is so important. It nudges people from routine into excitement.
And it kind of goes against the idea that different people need totally different things. Honestly, research says good design usually beats out demographics. The right mechanic can motivate nearly anyone, whether they're into luxury, groceries, or just free coffee. I always thought my older relatives wouldn't care about this stuff, but they totally do once the mechanics are right.
That's it. And maybe the most underrated point is that motivation is everyone's job. It's not a marketing gimmick. It influences product, user experience, partnerships, operations. The works. If you don't build that strategic psychology into every part of the program, you're missing half the puzzle.
So if there's a big takeaway, it's not about signing more partners or adding random features. It's about better mechanics. You want a program people can trust to reward them, but that's still surprising enough to be exciting. Predictable enough to build a habit. Unpredictable enough to keep people curious. That's how you make sure that what you've built resists extinction and doesn't just become noise.
Exactly. Strong mechanics informed by psychology are what keep loyalty alive. And that's just the start. Keeping programs fresh is a whole other battle we'll definitely keep talking about. As always, a pleasure chatting. Thanks for the fun today.
Thanks, Mark. It's awesome to geek out on this stuff with you. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe for more Loyalty Unlocked, and we'll catch you on the next episode.